Today, we thank you so much for the opportunity to dive into your word, to have your Holy Spirit work faith in our hearts, maybe for the first time. And Father, we pray that you would simply show us how you love us and how you want us to follow you and to tell others about you and your grace and your mercy. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So growing up in Texas, there was a phrase that grandparents on both sides of my family would say if there were varmints in the yard or a stray cat or dog, even a stray child. They would say this: "Get on out of here." Now, for those of you who did not grow up Texan, I said, "Get on out of here." They would say that. It was amazing how those four words could make whatever varmint, dog, cat, child vanish out of the yard. Actually, this past week, I tried this with some squirrels because I don't have one of those cones of shame that, you know, usually are on dogs' necks, but go on your bird feeder. I don't have one of those yet. So the squirrels are like doing all kinds of acrobatic actions on our bird feeder. And so I went, "Get on out of here." And I tell you what, they left. It was awesome. It was awesome. And so, you know, I've tried this with my children, especially one of them, and it has not worked. I'm just playing, guys. I'm just playing. They're watching online. I'm sorry. So today, we're in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, whether they're in paper format or you're going analog or you're digital, open your Bibles here. And this is what God's Word says. It says, "Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest.'" So Jesus talks about specifically one piece of this text I want to focus on right now is this language about sheep and shepherds. Jesus has compassion on the people, it says, because they were harassed and helpless. They were sheep without a shepherd. And so in order to positively speak about get on out of here, we have to first describe what we're talking about when we're talking about sheep. And what Jesus is saying about sheep here, and not just this text, but in a lot of different spots of Scripture, Jesus calls his followers sheep. It can be good, and it can be not so good. So we're going to see kind of maybe why maybe perhaps it's not real great, but maybe in a sense it is. So first off, sheep typically are not the smartest animals in the animal kingdom. For example, if they are just left to their own devices, they will go to whatever field is around. They'll eat whatever plant, whether you had a garden laying around or you had poisonous plants on the ground or weeds or something like that. It doesn't matter. They will eat it. There's no way for them to know that. I mean, you've heard of trained horses, trained cats, trained dogs. You've even heard of trained fleas. But have you ever been to a circus act where there was a trained sheep? I mean, are circuses even a thing anymore? Like, I don't even know. But why? Because sheep are, there's really no way to say it. dumb. They're dumb. And therefore, they can be easily lost. That's the reason the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, all we are like what? Sheep who have gone astray. We just kind of go our own way. If we're left to our own devices, we'll just go wherever we want to go. And so what is it saying? Well, we're really no different. We'll just kind of take our own way, and soon we'll be worshiping other gods than God himself. We'll be worshiping the god of power or money, the god of self, like, I can get myself out of this situation. I can do it. I can save myself. And soon we're in trouble. And so you may be saying, wait, are you saying today that I am stupid? How offensive. No, I am not saying it in this way, because I know, hey, we have a smart congregation. There, we have PhDs. We have like more letters on your business card than I can even see on the business card. It runs out. You are great at managing a business, managing your home. You're intelligent people. But we're not talking about whether it's that kind of stupid or not. Like, we're intelligent from a worldly perspective. Yes, absolutely. God has given us brains and he wants us to use them. But spiritually, sometimes what God is saying, what Jesus is saying, is spiritually, we have to have somebody leading us, because we're not going to get there on our own. We don't have the capability to save ourselves. And so, like sheep, we will go astray. So the second thing you need to know about sheep, typically they're defenseless. The shepherd's not the only one that watches out for the sheep. There's things like coyotes and wolves and vultures that are watching every move that the sheep makes. And as soon as they look like they're weak or they're ripe for the taking, they will attack. A coyote or a wolf will go after a sheep, will sneak up on them, and boom. And the only thing the sheep can do is, rah, rah, you know, just bleep, however they bleep. I don't know. Get on YouTube later and find out. That's what they would do. They're defenseless. They can't fight or flight, really. Now, a horse can kick, a cat can scratch, a dog can bite, a skunk. I mean, you know what they can do. There was a mom and some skunks, the baby skunks, and they got caught in a cave with a fox. And the mom skunk said, "Children, let us spray." Be here all week. See, the sheep is at the mercy of wolves, of the coyotes, of the vultures, because they don't have those defense mechanisms like that. The next one, a sheep is dependent. No, a sheep has to have somebody take care of them. If they don't, they can end up in a field they're not supposed to be, or they can end up in water that is not fresh, that can actually hurt them, or they can end up in land that is maybe not where they're supposed to be, or they can be going into a pack of coyotes or wolves, and so they have to be led. They have to be guided to green grass, to good water. And so they're dependent on their shepherd to lead them to those places. You see, with a sheep, maybe they've just eaten some wonderful lush grass. And now they're like, man, it is sunny out here. I'm going to stretch out and take a little nap. And they proceed to try to lay down. But see, the problem is they didn't know that they were on unsteady ground. Maybe it's like some of your backyards. It looks real level and then it drops off. It's like my backyard. Well, all of a sudden, they roll over and they're now in a rut. And now they go upside down. Tump over is a way to say it. They tump over. And now they're cast is the what it's called. And so they can't get up on their own. And all they can do, they're getting anxious, they're bleeding, they're just yelling out, help me, help me. And unless somebody comes and turns them right side out up, what happens? Their abdomen fills with gas, their legs start to lose circulation, and soon, in just a few hours, they will die unless somebody flips them right side up. They're dependent on somebody else. The other sheep can't go and try to hit them in the head and try to flip them over. They don't have that ability. They're dependent. And so sheep have to have a shepherd to follow. Friends, when Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, to pray, that's what we need to do. It's a command. It's really pray. That's what we can do as followers of Jesus. As his sheep, his children, pray. And so I want to give you a very practical application on how to pray today. Very practical. First off, something you can take home with you. It's Matthew 9:38. You can set your phone alarm, 9:38 a.m., and 9:38 p.m. to pray for more workers in the harvest field. That's something that I've done over the last couple of weeks. I've done it before. Sometimes you remember, what was that alarm set for? Oh, yeah, it's so weird, 9:38. And then you can pray for more workers in the harvest field. Another thing that I've heard people do is they pray at every 38 on the hour. So they set their alarms for every time that, every hour, and that can kind of be overwhelming, but you pray for workers in the harvest field. That's one thing we can do. These verses also tell us something about sheep, that we were created not to just lead, but to follow. Have you ever thought about that? So many times people say, when you follow, you're not leading. But don't people, if take your lead, if they follow you to where you're who you're following? You see, we can't. Everybody has gifts of leadership, or a lot of you have gifts of leadership, and we are to use them for God's glory. And a lot of you do, in your vocations, in school, in various ways of serving Jesus and his people. You use these gifts and abilities of leadership. And that's great. Yet, Jesus also calls us to do what? Follow him. You see, there was a rich young man in Matthew 19. He had all the money, he had all the cars, the looks, the ladies. He even claimed to keep all the commandments. And Jesus said, hey, if you're going to be perfect, go sell all the possessions that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And Jesus is inviting this man into a discipleship relationship with him, to follow him as Messiah and Lord. And yet, he can't do it. He's unable to follow him. But friends, that's what Jesus calls us to do, to follow him, to receive his grace and forgiveness and mercy that never ends. And then, what do? We tell people about that grace and mercy and love that Jesus gives us so that they can follow who? Not us, but him. And so I have a video to show you that displays this with this crazy guy dancing by himself at a concert. And it shows how a lone nut can have people follow, and how following is an important trait of leadership. So let's check out that video.
If you've learned a lot about leadership and making a movement, then let's watch a movement happen start to finish in under 3 minutes and dissect some lessons. First, of course, a leader needs the guts to stand alone and look ridiculous. But what he's doing is so simple, it's almost instructional. This is key. You must be easy to follow. Now here comes the first follower with a crucial role. He publicly shows everyone else how to follow. Notice how the leader embraces him as an equal. So it's not about the leader anymore. It's about them, plural. Notice how he's calling to his friends to join in. So it takes guts to be a first follower. You stand out and you brave ridicule yourself. Being a first follower is an underappreciated form of leadership. The first follower transforms a lone nut into a leader. If the leader is the flint, the first follower is the spark that really makes the fire. Now here's the second follower. This is a turning point. It's proof the first has done well. Now it's not a lone nut, and it's not two nuts. Three is a crowd, and a crowd is news. A movement must be public. Make sure outsiders see more than just the leader. Everyone needs to see the followers, because new followers emulate followers, not the leader. Now here come two more people, then three more immediately. Now we've got momentum. This is the tipping point, and now we have a movement. As more people jump in, it's no longer risky. If they were on the fence before, there's no reason not to join in now. They won't stand out, they won't be ridiculed, and they will be part of the in crowd if they hurry. And over the next minute, you'll see the rest who prefer to stay part of the crowd, because eventually they'd be ridiculed for not joining. And ladies and gentlemen, that is how a movement is made. So let's recap what we've learned. If you are a version of the shirtless dancing guy, all alone, remember the importance of nurturing your first few followers as equals, making everything clearly about the movement, not you. Be public, be easy to follow. But the biggest lesson here, did you catch it? Leadership is over-glorified. Yes, it started with the shirtless guy, and he'll get all the credit, but you saw what really happened. It was the first follower that transformed a lone nut into a leader. There's no movement without the first follower. See, we're told that we all need to be leaders, but that would be really ineffective. The best way to make a movement, if you really care, is to courageously follow and show others how to follow. When you find a lone nut doing something great, have the guts to be the first person to stand up and join in.
I saw some of y'all at that concert, I think. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of commentary on there, and I want you to focus on this one statement. This is what matters. Courageously follow and show others how to follow. That's what we as followers of Christ need to be doing. That's really all you need to know from the commentary, because here's the deal. There is a world that is full of darkness. People are hurting. They're looking for answers. And the only answer for any of us, as you as followers of Christ know, is Jesus himself, that gives us grace and mercy, that just fills us with that. You have to point people to Christ, because that's who we're following. You don't want them to follow us because we're going to blow it. You want them to follow Christ. So teach them about how Jesus has worked in your life. What is his story? How has Jesus worked? Give a very tangible way to those in your circles of influence on how Jesus has worked. How he's given you life and life to the fullest. And you share that as you, with your friends, your family, everybody you know, because that's the message that we need to hear, and that's the message that everyone around us needs to hear. And Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and the laborers are few because, not because he hasn't called us to do it. What has Jesus called us to later in Matthew 28? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always till the end of the age. Why does he tell us to do that? Because we just can't keep this amazing gift to ourselves. We have to point people to Christ by saying, come, follow the one who knows everything about me and loves me nonetheless, who forgave me. See, here's the deal. When Jesus looks at you, or when God the Father looks at you, he sees his children, his sons, his daughters. He doesn't see your brokenness, your fear, your sin, your burdens. Instead, he sees Jesus, who's taken those things upon himself to the cross. He rose from the dead. And as a result, when God the Father sees you, he sees the perfect picture of Jesus who's lived, died, and rose for you. And as a result, he sees you as a forgiven son and daughter of Jesus. Friends, Jesus died for this world. And so for those of people in your circles of influence that you know that don't know Jesus as Savior, we are called to teach them to follow Christ, to be workers in the harvest field, to share about that grace and that hope that you have. So we share it. Amen.